Good morning. This is Scott Mitchell with Let the Bible Speak, and we are loud.
Yeah, we're going to fix that.
I want to welcome everyone to the show again. This is, I think, our 11th show. And if you haven't listened before, this is Scott Mitchell. I work with the church down at El Bethel, just past Crawford County High School. And I've been there for right about a year, and just trying to teach the Bible and help people understand what it says. And I've still got a lot to learn about that myself. But that's what we're doing. I want to welcome everyone again. I'm very grateful for this opportunity from Sean Scott and the radio station for letting us do this and for the opportunity to help people know about the Bible. And our purpose is not, I keep saying this, is not to build a church, to build the church. I don't care where you're from. I don't care. I'm not concerned that you are at El Bethel. If you need to be taught by somebody, you let me know and we will find you somebody to teach you. If you want to call, this is a call-in radio show. And if you want to call in, this is a WBRO on 89.9. The phone number is 812-365-9864. 812-365-9864. And I'm here with a friend of mine. I think we figured up the other day, 23 years
23
ago.
23 years ago.
It's been a little bit. And back before we had Chitrin
and all that.
And
children.
Very, very grateful for Mike and his influence in my life. I met him shortly after becoming a Christian, and they helped me kind of reshape things a little bit as I was going. And you know, if I was at their house and I said something that I shouldn't say, they'd be like, you know, you might not ought to say that, you know. And so kind of remolded me a little bit as we went, and I'll never ever be able to thank them enough for what they did in our lives.
That's what we're all here for.
Anyway, Mike, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do. And if you can see him, and you can if you're on Facebook, he has a, I have a t-shirt on that's nearly 17 years old. He has on a vest and a tie. He is a conductor at French Lick.
Conductor at French Lick today.
I'll let him talk about that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Scott. Like you said, my wife and I, Jenny, we moved over from Louisville to Crawford County 23 years ago, and we walked into the church at Galena, and we didn't know anyone. And we met Scott and his lovely wife Tina, and we hit it off, and we've been fast friends ever since. And so appreciate that, and so appreciate the camaraderie with them and the encouragement from them. And appreciate the opportunity to come do this. By day I am a computer programmer at UPS, and by on the weekends, if I'm not preaching somewhere, filling in, I also am a conductor, as Scott said, at French Lick Scenic Railway. So if you want to take a ride today, come on out.
Nice plug.
That's why I'm dressed this way and heading that way after the radio program. So I do appreciate the opportunity to come and study today, and hope we can do some good and shed some light on the scriptures.
What we're going to talk about today, we have our first listener question that was sent to us by
we have a live listener as well.
From a
live watcher,
well,
as
excellent.
It
from a we by
we
the way
name
we,
her,
so this is her on Facebook Live for the first time, so I'm not looking up at that phone. But anyway, lady named Lillian in Florida sent in this question. It's, how can we be lights in the lives of other people? And we just spent last week at Galena with a Vacation Bible School talking about being an example.
That's right.
We talked about David and Joseph, Abraham, Jeremiah,
and Daniel.
Each of those was an example in different areas. You know, all of them were good examples, but we talked on, you know, example in word, example in conduct, example in faith, and those kind of things last week. And so we have a good background for this topic, but Mike's also put together 4 pages of notes, which I promised him we would not get through, because this show was just kind of fluid.
That's
When things come up, you know, he may think of something, I may think of something, we may, you know, we won't leave the topic, but we may be talking about things that are that aren't on our notes, but we have thoughts about, and that's fine. We want it to be comfortable, like a conversation, and if you are out there listening, we want you to feel the same way. So, Mike, since you have all those notes, and I have my computer open, but not nearly as good as you are, but let me tell a story first.
All right.
I almost forgot about my story.
Story.
Right. I heard this the other day. I was like, wow, that's really cool. But this this guy was talking about this old farmer who used to he used to prepare his hams. He'd put his hams in salt, and they would become salty. Great country ham, you know.
Hey, I grew up on a pig farm. I know about
that. Oh, that's right. You
literally
understand
all that. 500 pigs, you know. So
even on fire one time.
That's right.
Excuse me, I got a little choked up there and sad about his pig farm. But anyway, let me. So this guy comes into his wife and he says, "Honey, there's something wrong. This ham has no flavor."
Uh-oh.
And he cut up off a piece of the ham and handed it to her. And she goes, "It's got any flavor. What's going on?" So he goes out and he grabs a handful of salt and tastes it. And instead of it being a salty ham, he had hammy salt.
Oh.
Hammy salt. Trump-pump. And so hammy salt simply means that the influence went the wrong way.
Ah, that's right.
And so when we talk about our influence, I mean, are we influencing other people? Are they influencing us? And that's when it comes into being lights in the world. You know, the Bible tells us not to hide our light under a basket, but to let it shine. And so we're going to talk about how that fits into our lives, and not just what the Bible says about being a light, but practically how do we do that. And we're going to talk about Romans 12 and different things. So I notice you've got this little light of mine.
Oh, we have to start with a song.
I'm not singing.
I'm not going to sing either. I wish I could, but
I think, you know.
Think we
Priscilla, are. You want to sing it?
We're in the same boat.
No? Oh, okay.
We can sing, but we shouldn't.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Especially
on the radio.
Yeah, why don't you sing that? Or no, I mean read that.
I will read that. We would be amiss not to talk about this little light of mine. And as Scott said, just wrapping up Vacation Bible School last night, of course, we sang This Little Light of Mine. And those words, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine. And then we go on, don't let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of shining.
That
However,
is a lot of shining.
When we talk about our daily lives, I talked to the kids last night in high school college class. You know, it's great to talk about characters in the Bible. Abraham, example of faith. We've talked about Daniel and his example of his
purity.
And his purity and what he did as. But, you know, their time's up.
That's right.
It's our turn. And so what we've got to work on every day is, and what we have to work out, there's this idea of, you know, I mentioned this before, this black and white for a moment or gray for a lifetime. All these daily or moment by moment decisions we have to make that nobody really knows about, that nobody really even notices maybe except you and God, determine how our light shines.
Right.
And all those daily, the big moments, like somebody puts a gun to your head and says, "Deny Christ, I'm going to shoot you." That black and white moment is easier than this gray for a lifetime where we got to make all these moment by moment decisions to live as Christ. And so that's where Galatians 2 verse 20 comes in and all those things. So let's start with your first thing. It says throughout the scripture, light represents good and darkness.
Darkness represents evil.
So let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, we've got to go back to the very beginning, Genesis 1 and creation. We know in Genesis 1, 3 and 4, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. So from the very beginning, Scott, we know throughout the scriptures, light always represents good. It represents righteousness, and darkness represents evil. We know that people do good things all throughout the day, and the nighttime, it tends to be, we turn on the morning news, we hear all of the crime maybe that happened overnight. That's when people are out, they've got extra time, they're getting into the trouble. So definitely light represents that darkness. And then over in John chapter 8 and verse 12, we see that Jesus again, he said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." And as Scott said, as we were talking about David and Daniel and Jeremiah and all the other characters, we know all of the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, that we are not living under, but we're living under the New Testament today. But those old examples, they are there for an example for us how we should live our lives. And Christ is our ultimate example. He is the light of the world.
And to that point, the law has changed.
Absolutely.
However, when you study God's character, God hasn't changed.
That's right.
When Jesus talks about the great wish, who was on here last week with me? I can't remember.
John Bingham.
Yeah, John Bingham talking about the greatest commandments: to love the Lord thy God and to love your neighbor. Those are referenced from Jesus quotes the Old Testament in that. And on these hang the law and the prophets. So we don't, you know, when we say we're not, God hasn't changed. What he expects of us hasn't changed. He wants our hearts. He wants all our hearts. And that's what we're trying to do, to help people see that. And so as we live our lives, people see our hearts and
that's
our
intent
and what we're about. And that's what, you know, what in John 1:5, Jesus talking about light and darkness, said the light shines in the darkness and darkness has not overcome it. And, you know, he says over and over again in this book, you know, that people in the darkness run from the light.
That's right.
And so when I was, I mean, I remember a time in my life when I was living in darkness. So what we have to help people understand, there's a different, there's really no difference between me and somebody living in darkness, except I listened to somebody. I chose to listen to somebody and change.
Right.
There's nothing miraculous. There's nothing supernatural. There's nothing. It's just a decision. So if you're out there and you feel like, well, God doesn't want me, yes, he does.
He wants everyone.
You cannot, I said this last week, you cannot mess your life up enough for God not to want you back. Mm. You can't.
That's right.
He's never going to say, just go to hell. He's never going to say that while we're living, while we've got an opportunity to make a choice. And what we're wanting to help people do, we need to be out to helping people make the right decision.
That's
by
right.
Letting our light shine.
Right.
And so let's see what we got. Let's see.
Well, we've got to talk about what it means to shine,
yeah,
even. And the dictionary defines shining as to give off or reflecting light.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, so many times we might think that we are letting our light shine and we are maybe doing that for glory. And we've got to be very careful of that, not to be doing things in the name of the Lord for the glory of ourselves, yeah, and taking the credit for that, if you will. But we've got to give all glory to God. Everything that we do should be done for the glory of God. You know, we read in the scriptures that all that we do, whether we eat or we drink, we should do all to the glory of God. And that doesn't mean that we're necessarily, oh, praising God by going to Cracker Barrel and having the country ham that Scott was talking about earlier. But
no,
it's all in our attitude.
We can praise God for the ham while we're there.
That's right. That's right. Give God the glory because he is providing for us and we are his children and we should be thankful for that.
I got a message from our brother Tim. He says, working, listening, and watching. So we've got some people out there.
All right.
Anyway, that, and that, you know,
shout outs to Tim.
What we have to do then is be cognizant of what's going on around us. And okay, I'm going to go back to, I keep coming back to this verse. I brought it up twice at VBS last week, this verse in Galatians 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So when we're talking, you mentioned in the definition of shining, it's also a reflection. I don't have a light that's worth shining, not without Christ.
Right.
And so what we're doing, we talked about this before the show, is we're really reflecting. We're kind of like a moon or a planet. We don't produce our own light.
That's right.
We reflect the light of Christ. And so when he gets in us, then we begin to look more like him, and we begin to talk more like him and act more like him and be, you know, and people see that. And I'm going to tell this. What happened to me years ago, I was at the Louisville Zoo with a bunch of first graders. Like I said, last, you know, teaching first graders, having first graders in a zoo is kind of like herding cats.
Right. I can imagine.
You know, if you get back with 19 out of 20, you know, you've done pretty good. And so let's just get most of them on the bus. But that really never happened. But, you know, could have, but didn't.
You sure?
No,
unfortunately not.
But this lady came up to me in this organized chaos. And she said, are you a Christian? And I'm kind of like, whoa, what did I
do? What do you mean?
I mean,
why?
I'm like, I answered like, yeah.
Right.
And she goes, well, I thought so by how you were talking to the children.
Huh.
Now, I have no idea what I said. I didn't have any idea then what I said. I don't know what she saw. But she came to me and asked me if I was a Christian by how I was talking to all those little running around, you know, rugrats running around. I have no, I thought I was probably sounding mean because that's kind of how I sound with kids. I don't mean to, but
authoritative.
Yeah, authoritative. Yeah, that's what it is. I don't yell when I'm coaching. I don't yell at the kids. I yell to the kids, but there's a big difference there. That's a different preposition.
That's right.
But that what she saw in me, whatever it was, and I have no idea what it was, that was an example of a light that I didn't even know I had on.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great example because, you know, how we present ourselves, how we live our daily lives, we don't have to actively be doing something, but it's how we present ourselves, how we are living our lives, that is Christ's light shining through us.
So are you saying we don't have to be out knocking on doors and
well, we should be doing that stuff. That is part of it.
Does it have to be that?
But it doesn't have to be that 24/7, no, obviously.
Just living life.
We have to go to work. You know, God tells us we need to work to provide for our families. You know, we can talk about the Lord at work as time allows and as our employer allows.
Yeah.
But how we present ourselves, how if we're in a meeting and what our attitude is in that conference call or in that meeting or in the classroom or whatever the situation is, that's also shining our light because we are portraying the proper attitude. We're living our lives in a way that's pleasing to the Lord.
Let me say this too, again, it's one of those thoughts. That, you know, I heard a guy speak down in Tennessee a few weeks ago. His name's Dan Edwards, and it was he's a counselor, adult counselor. He also preaches, and he was talking about Maslow's hierarchy and food, water, and shelter.
Right.
He said that's wrong. Our very first need is not food, water, and shelter. It's connection. It's association. It's being part of a group, and the acceptance and that sort of thing. And so what we're about trying to do then, there are people out there who are walking around asking these questions: Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? So when we think about being lights, and you're a good example at work, and people come to you and say, well, how come you're not acting like that?
Right.
When they were at the water cooler and they told that joke and you walked away and didn't laugh, why is that? When you're at the gas station, this happened to me, and Theron brought this up in one of his whatever it was a few weeks ago.
Right.
I met this dude at the gas station. It was in Georgetown, and I went in, paid for my gas. I talked to this guy about his car or truck out by the gas pump, which is easy for me to do. I just talk about golf.
Right.
Whatever I see in the car, we'll talk about.
Sure.
Golf clubs or trimmer, whatever. Well, a week later, I go back, and I go in, the same cashier's in there, and she said, you remember that guy you met last week at the gas pump? I said, yeah. She said, he said you were the nicest person he ever met.
Well, very nice.
No, wait, that's good, but there's a problem. He talked for me for probably a minute at a gas pump. And I'm the nicest person he ever met.
Yeah, that's...
People's lights aren't shining like
right.
they need to be. So
Absolutely.
That's why we're here. You know,
Absolutely.
When we talk about living life and doing... We just have to be out. Like
right.
you said, it's not about... You know, when I was in college in Indiana State, there was a guy that was on campus in front of the bookstore. There was about an 18-foot tall platform, and he was there every day screaming at the students, and everybody's walking by him. I
right.
wish now I'd listen to him
right.
to see
yeah,
what he had
right.
to... I didn't know till after I left college probably what he was trying to tell us.
Right. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to be up there like a barker, you know, to get that attention and let your light shine. Just think if you're in the line at Walmart, how many times have we been in a long line and the person in front of us has 75 items in the 20 item checkout line or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, it's our patience. It's our attitude that we are displaying. What if the cashier gives you too much money back? Have you ever told them, hey, you gave me too much change, and how shocked but appreciative they are because that's their job. They had messed up and given you too much, but your honesty, you were letting your light shine by being honest and admitting that to them.
That seems like a little thing, but it's huge.
That's right.
You know, because people are used to other people lying about how old their kids are to go into a movie. They're used to people, you know, the world says, you know, you get yours before somebody else gets it. You know, you do what you got to do to take care of you.
That's right.
But that's just the opposite of what Christ is and what he wants us to be. And so that's why it's important we understand when we're out, our light's on.
Mm-hmm.
Now what people see, you know, especially if we're claiming to be a Christian, our light people pay much more attention to.
Oh yes, right.
And so when we're out doing things like that, what
unfortunately,
are
so many times them knowing that you're a Christian, they're waiting for you to mess up.
I got a buddy who works at Ford, and you got a buddy who works at
That's
Ford
right.
too. Same buddy. Not going to say his name, but
what's that
he told me this, and I'm assuming it's true because I love him and trust him. But at Ford, there was a woman over there who, when she found out a man was a Christian, her sole purpose was to get him to stumble with her
right.
to take him down.
Wow.
So she pursued men who were Christians
right.
just to see if they would give in to her.
Wow. That's total darkness.
That's a little bit of darkness. That's like that's like a black hole sucking
that,
all the light
right.
out of the world. Okay,
that's
there's
right.
nothing,
yeah, there you go.
There's nothing good in that. And so he had to make a decision, and other people there who were Christians had to make a decision to shut that down. And so their light shining was simply to stand and say no. And her idea was to extinguish the light. And so, and there, we're going to run across people like that, but most of our lives, it's not that extreme.
Right.
It's just simply,
fortunately not,
at the gas station, you know, force, you know, the gas station, the grocery store, like you're saying.
Yes.
In traffic, whatever the case may be, that's our everyday life is what determines just that. Again, black and white for a moment, or gray for a lifetime.
That's right,
thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got to be working on. And so anyway, I know you've got a lot more notes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What's that one? What does it mean to shine? What is that?
What does it mean about to shine? Well, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2 and read verses 14 through 16.
Philippians
2. Chapter 2, verses 14 through 16.
All right.
We read here, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain."
Okay.
So we see there, as children of God, we should be without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. And we've got to, you know, this is from the King James Version, twisted and crooked generation. You know, that's the world today. It's no different from Christ's time as it is today. Like I said, we watch the news. It is a twisted world. There's a lot of evil, but we've got to continue to shine Christ's light and be that beacon of light in this wicked world, because there are good people out there. There are many, many people that are wanting to serve the Lord and trying to shine Christ's light, and we've got to emit that light so that others, as we said, saw and can see Christ living within us in our daily lives.
When you look at these verses, I've learned not to look down at my Bible when I read. I got to look at the mic.
That's right.
It's one of those radio skills I've acquired. I'm getting rid of squeaky chairs, you have to things like that.
Ignore project, engineer
crawling all over you.
When we look at these verses, it's interesting how they kind of stack up on each other. We're blameless, right?
Right.
And innocent children in a crooked generation, and we shine as lights because of that. But how does all that happen? What's the end of that verse say?
Because we're holding fast to the word of life.
So that, you know, if we let go, then our light dims and we start acting in ways we shouldn't act. And it's important that, you know, that we begin each day with a purpose. We can't be perfect.
Right.
I'm not saying we're not going to make a
mistake. We're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes.
But with the intent to be like Jesus.
That's right.
That's the purpose of our lives. You know, all of us have, I've heard this said, I heard this a long time ago, everybody's got a God-sized hole in their heart. And if we fill it with the right things, then, but when we, what we do a lot of times with shaming, and that Dan Edwards fellow also talked about shame and guilt.
Right.
When we feel shame, it's different than guilt. Guilt, we go when we fix it, we know what to do about that. What do we do with shame? When we say, I didn't make a mistake, I am the mistake, what do? Well, we try to fill that hole with alcohol,
right,
and drugs and sex and whatever it is that we're gonna try to use to make ourselves feel better,
right,
that don't do any good at all.
Nope,
so we've gotta fill that hole with the right things. And that goes back to holding fast to Christ. And if you're out there and you're kinda like, well, how do you start with, you know, how do you even pick up? The first thing you do is pick up a Bible,
right,
and call one of us and ask us to study with you, or call somebody you trust, or I can get you somebody. But the first thing is take the first step. It's kind of like eating an elephant. How do you do that?
One bite at a time.
It's the only way to do it. And so it's a daily process. It literally is a daily process, because I messed up yesterday, so today I'm going to get up. I'm going to try today not to mess up again.
Right.
And where I mess up is usually with my kids losing my temper, and I got to say, you know, hey, Evan, I'm sorry.
Right.
I didn't react to that correctly. Let's rewind and restart the conversation, and I'll try to be what I'm supposed to be for you. And that you know, because I'm short-tempered, a little bit impatient. And people, you know, as a teacher, they say, well, you're so patient. I'm thinking, who are you watching? I mean, what exactly are you hearing?
Right.
But I don't understand that. And it's kind of like Theron telling me that I'm not loud enough for the mic. She tells me I can't whisper.
Oh, no.
You know, you can't
I'm so loud. I'll tell you that. I've got Theron saying, you're not loud enough all the time. So anyway.
But fortunately, when we do make mistakes, you know, I mean, we stumble and like, I should not have done that, you know, but we apologize. We ask forgiveness of that person, whoever we might have offended or hurt. We ask God for forgiveness. And tomorrow's another day. Don't wallow in the mistakes you made yesterday. Correct them, ask for forgiveness, move on, and start each day new. And that's the beauty of it. You know, wake up refreshed and start afresh each and every day.
There was a verse, Acts 26. This is Paul. I was going to talking about his conversion and what he was told. I'm looking down again. I'm back up now. And Acts 26, verse 18, it's totally cool what it is we're trying to do by doing this. I'll start in 16. It says, but rise and stand up on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those which I will appear to you, delivering from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And that's why we're doing this.
That's absolutely right.
All I want people to do is have the opportunity to turn. And if I'm out there acting like an idiot, I blow it for them.
That's right.
And that we have to be aware of what we're supposed to be doing and who we're supposed to be all the time, because people are watching.
Right. And that's a great verse there in 18, Scott, because that's Jesus talking, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. That's any and everyone. You know, the gospel is for all.
Yeah.
He wants us all to turn from darkness to light, and we all can have that hope of heaven if we choose to follow him and accept Christ and obey him as he commands us to throughout the scriptures. And then we see when we do turn from that darkness to light, regardless of what your past is, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived in the past, God will forgive you. And that great sacrifice, we know how Christ died on the cross for you and for me, the knuckleheaded things we've all done and continue to do and continue to stumble on. But if we ask for that forgiveness, God will forgive us. And don't think that whatever you've done is so bad that God would not forgive you. That's not the case. That God sent Christ to this earth to establish his kingdom and to die on the cross to offer that hope of salvation to all.
Yeah. I'm supposed to about every 10 or 15 minutes give the phone number. And I have forgotten to do that.
Hey, we've been having a good time.
And so, by law, I found out at the top of each hour, we're supposed to identify the station. By the way, this is Scott Mitchell's At the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9, broadcasting from beautiful, let me quote, beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
Beautiful.
Hey, if you've never driven down I-64 through Crawford County,
there you go.
It is about as pretty a place as you can drive through. So when I say beautiful, I mean it. But if you need to call in, if you want to call in and add or detract or correct or vent or call me, whatever, I am at 812-365-9864, 365-9864. We'd love to hear from you. And so as we're approaching this, what we're talking about is being lights in the light of people. And how do we do that? And it really comes down to being examples and trying to live life and every moment to the very best we can. So if somebody is watching who cares, we can be the right influence and be that salt in the world to try to put out what Christ has given us. And he's given us a lot. I see you highlight, you should always point back to the light source on the highlighted yellow.
That's right, we should. And like I said before, when we are doing things for Christ, our attitude and our motive should not be to get praise from others, but rather our motivation should be that we are honoring and we are glorying God. We see in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, that verse begins, let your light shine before others. But we have to go on and continue to read the end of that. So let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. once again, not to give ourselves glory for, hey, look at me, I did this, I taught this class, I went and cut the grass for this person, I did this, I did that. It's not about that. Everything that we do should be in glory to God. Yeah. And whether we are serving others, helping others, it's all to the glory of God. Yeah. And that should draw us all closer to Him. Yeah. As we draw closer to one another, as we serve one another.
You know, writing on Matthew 4:16. And this is just a cool image of what you just said. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light.
That's right.
Not us, but Jesus. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. It's That's like right. You can see, when people see it, they're like, oh, I can see, it literally right. dawns
it's
on
It's like
them.
A light bulb moment.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
It is, it
and
truly
so
is.
That's what we're hoping to help people
That's right.
Do.
That
so,
is right.
What else have you
Absolutely.
Now, we haven't, you mentioned, I don't know, we're down to about 28 minutes. You mentioned Romans chapter 12.
I know,
12.
Time flies. Yes, so Romans chapter 12, talking about the importance that we have to serve one another. And I was a music critic for 19 years, so I have always liked music.
What kind of music did you criticize?
Well, it was country music, you know. critique, oh, okay. Not criticize, you know.
Well, there was some criticism there,
sounds bad. Yeah, but I've always loved music. And another hymn, as I was preparing and thinking about this topic, was Room in God's Kingdom.
Yeah.
And we see over in Matthew chapter 10:42, as we talk about being the light in the lives mm-hmm. of others and serving others, Matthew chapter 10 verse 42, Jesus says, "And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." So it doesn't matter who it is or how little of an impact we might have or how mm-hmm. little of a deed we might think it is that we're doing to someone, it does make an impact. And that reminds me of the hymn, Room in God's Kingdom, where it goes, "Just a cup of cold water in His name given, may the hope in some heart renew. Do not wait to be told, nor by sorrow driven, to the work God has planned for you."
Yeah.
And we know there's room in the kingdom, there's work for us all to do, and in His service there was much work for us. And that leads us to Romans chapter 12, as we were alluding to before, talking about that we all have different gifts. You know, we might think, oh, brother or sister so-and-so, they're so good at doing this, or they're so good at doing that, and I just can't do that. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got to realize, Scott, do you want to read verses sure. 3-8, and then I'll pick up after that. But in verses 3-8 of Romans chapter 12, we talk about how we all have different gifts, and we should not beat ourselves up. Scott and I are both, even though, as I said, I love music, I wish I could sing the song service in worship, but no one wants that. I do make a joyful noise to the Lord, but that is a talent that I do not have. But you know, I try to use whatever other talents I have. Scott uses his talents that he has. Theron does. We all do, regardless of what our talents. Them, but Scott, if you'll read Romans sure. 12, verses 3-8, talking about that we all do have different gifts and we should use them.
Okay, verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of the faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, in service, in our serving, to one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness."
That's right. And as you read through that, appreciate that, Scott, we see that we all have different talents. We have different abilities. You know, don't beat yourself up on the things that you're not good at, but find those things that you are good at and really work on those things. And as we talk about being light in the lives of others, as we continue on in verse 9 there in Romans chapter 12, reading through verse 19, we see how we should let our light shine by loving one another with mm-hmm. brotherly affection. That's what Christianity is all about. Yeah. You know, we should show the love of Christ in the things that we do. You know, whether it be, as we read in Matthew chapter 10, just that we gave someone a cup of cold mm-hmm. water. If we went over, we just checked on a neighbor, we cut their grass, we picked up groceries, you know, we took food to that brother or sister that just had surgery and got out of the hospital. Whatever it is, how little or how small mm-hmm. we might think that thing is, that can be huge in the yeah. life of another. And especially if we're doing that to someone not in the faith or not in the brotherhood, that we can really impress upon them that we would take the time and yeah. show the love to give them that time of day and to help them out in a way that, you know, we might think was no big deal, but it was huge to them.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when people come to you, and, you know, especially students I've taught over the past 28 years.
Several years.
They'll come to me and say things like, you know, I really appreciate, you know, what you did and what you said. I'm thinking, well, what did I do and what did I say? Because I have no idea.
Right.
But one little thing, it probably wasn't very big, but something that is done and said by somebody, even small, it can be, like you said, can really have an impact. And we need to be cognizant of that. And I heard this little girl, and you've probably heard this too, her mom, and it's a small thing, but when we're listening to somebody, this little girl comes home from school and starts talking. I use my Crawford County dialect there, talking. And her mother was in the kitchen working, doing things, and this little girl's talking about her day. And she says, Mommy, listen to me. And her mom says, well, I'm listening. She goes, no, Mommy, listen to me with your eyes.
Right.
Small thing. But we can dismiss people by acting that way. Again, that it's little subtle little things that make such a difference in people's lives that we have to be aware of. But I really like that. I've always remembered that.
That's right. And we should never forget that people are watching.
Yeah.
You know, regardless, you know, how or where we are or how we're living our life, there are eyes watching it, whether it be our coworkers, whether it be our spouse, whether it be our children, other people's children. We are being watched, and
I think we're being watched right now.
Being watched right now. And so we've got to think about that when we are presenting ourselves. Am I living my life in a way that is pleasing to the Lord? Because others are watching.
And,
you know, we all have heroes, and we've got to be very careful with who our heroes are. And I will call this hero of mine by name. It's Brother Randall Wilbright. I sit behind him every church service, and he is a great example. Nothing that he has tried to do, just the way he has lived his life for the Lord. But he is one of my Bible heroes. Yep. That he is, not that he's in the Bible, but he is a biblical
example.
Rather,
I said the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And we all have people like that in our lives. And, you know, he didn't ask to be an example or a hero of anyone, but just the way we live our lives makes that impact. So we've got to do that. And
you know, his wife Doris isn't a bad example either.
No, she's not. Them are good people.
Super.
And boy, can he tell a story.
That is absolutely right. That is absolutely right.
You want to go to Romans? You want to read those verses?
Yeah, let's finish Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. And now we're going to talk about, talked about in those first verses 3-8, how we all have different talents. Mm-hmm. But then in this next section of scripture, we're going to talk about how we need to put those into action. So beginning there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor, or that's a strong hate, that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful or lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. recompense or repay no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Mm-hmm. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So, Scott, there's a lot in this section of scriptures of what we must do, but we see that right off the bat, let love be without dissimulation. Let that be genuine. Let your love be genuine. Genuine, rather. Nobody wants you to do something just to be seen or that it's fake. You know, that is going to shine through. But well, we've got to let our love be genuine. You know, really care for one another. And that's what, once again, what Christ's gospel is all about. It's built on love. For God so loved the world that he sent his son to die on the cross so that we might all be saved, have that hope of heaven.
You know, I'm going to say this as a teacher. I really don't think kids and adults are all that much different. So I'm going to say this. We you know, we hear this saying, they don't know how much you know until they know how much you care. That's a hokey, cliche-ish kind of thing, but it is absolutely true. If I'm trying to teach a kid and they think I don't like them, they won't lift a pencil for me.
Right.
And I've seen it happen. It happens every year. I watch it, and I try to help these kids say, look, you know, you're going to have to deal with people your whole life you don't like. Well, he or she doesn't like me, and I'm not doing anything for them.
Well, you've got to be the bigger person.
And they don't know how to do that. Right. That's not their mindset. And I don't know that adults are all that much different.
Mm, right.
You know, we'll do things for a boss because we have to.
Right.
If we don't like them. Because we've been able to keep a job. Some of these people that grow up with this, they can't keep a job because they won't work for a boss they don't like.
That's right.
I don't. If we try to go to people and talk about Jesus and we don't have a relationship with them and they don't trust us, what are they going to do? They're going to dismiss it.
That's right.
And so they've got to know us. They've got to see our character. They've got to understand our intent. And that's why it's so important to let this light shine properly. Now, not that we're not going to make mistakes, but if relationships are what's most important, and they are, we've got to really work on this.
That's right.
And as a school teacher, I teach the most handicapped kids or behavior disorder kids. My first, I forget academics. As far as they become we do them, but they're, I'm not going to say they're unimportant, but they're not crucial.
Right.
My time is spent building relationships and trust and helping these kids. And so when I do talk to them, they'll listen. Without that, they're not going to. Right. And so I don't think adults are much different than that. When we're talking to people who are lost and scared and trying to figure out their way, and I was one of those people.
Right.
And you're a lifer, aren't you?
I am.
Church, I'm just teasing.
No, I did grow up in the church.
Once we sin, we're all in the same boat.
That's right.
It's not a big deal.
Nobody's above anybody else.
But, you know, once we realize the sin in our lives, whoever we are and wherever we've been raised.
And whatever that sin
we
was.
We are all in the same boat. And again, like he said, it doesn't matter. When God doesn't grade sins, you know, like there's not one greater sin than others.
Sin is sin.
It's all one big category. So once we realize we're there, it's sometimes hard to realize or try to, sometimes not realize, it's sometimes hard to figure out or ask how we get out of it. And so shame, and we're afraid to talk to people. And so when nobody wants to look in at the darkness because nobody wants to deal with it.
Right.
And so we have to have trust in people's lives in order for them to come. And people will come to us and say, when that boss was talking to you that way, why are you not angry? How can you react that way when all this is going on? And this talks about being patient in tribulation.
That's right.
And all these people see, and they will ask, well, why is it you can do that? Because they've asked me.
Yep.
And so they'll say, you know, people, somebody's talking to me like that, there's no, well, how do you, that's a chance to let your light shine.
Once again, absolutely. You are letting your light shine by the way you are living your life, the way you are.
What else does that say in there? There's a lot.
Well, I think there at the end of verse 12 is very important. You know, maybe you're out there listening and you're on your sick bed, you know, and you are elderly or disabled or whatever the situation might be, or maybe you don't have a car to get out and drive to go help someone. But we've got to realize, one, the great, great, great tool and great privilege that we have there at the end of verse 12, we should continually be in prayer with God. And that is certainly how we can let our light shine to one another. Pray for one another. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your friends. Pray for that brother or sister. Like I said, if you're laying in your sick bed and you know you can't get out and you need help from others, and unfortunately you might feel discouraged because you're not able to physically go out and let your light shine for Christ and by helping others, pray for them. That's what people need. That's what we all need. And that's a great privilege. Then that's letting your light shine for one another. So don't ever be discouraged when others can do so many things and run circles around you, maybe physically doing things, but prayer, that is key. And we should all be taking one another, raising one another's names up before the Lord in prayer.
Thinking about you, Don Sig. Anyway.
That's right.
No call-outs today.
We see also 13, help the needy saints. Be hospitable. Yeah. You know, when we think about hospitality, we always, first thing come to mind is thinking you have to have someone in your home, which that's great. You know, that is hospitality. And Scott and his family, every Sunday night after worship for years and years, they used to come over and we'd have waffles. Every Sunday night, we'd have big old waffle bar and all the toppings, and that's good times. And, that's being hospitable.
Then the kids came. But anyway.
Life happens. Yes, you know, you have kids and you have different responsibilities and life can get crazy, but we can't let that bring us down either. Nope. But hospitality, don't think you have to put on a big spread, whether it's a bologna sandwich, peanut butter and jelly. You know, it's great if you can have roast and potatoes and carrots and that type of thing, but that's not necessary.
Let's take the pressure off people a little bit even more.
Yeah, let's do.
Hospitality really means just a welcoming personality.
That's right.
So what we want to work for is when we leave a room, we just don't want people to be glad that we're gone. I mean, really, that's hospitality.
Point,
I mean,
right?
let's not worry about the big things. Let's just be welcoming and kind and you know, how you doing today? Well, you know, I got this here, I got this corn on my toe and my back hurting. I think my rotator cuff might be torn and my ear's a little stuck. You know, we don't need to be, here's what a buddy of mine says. I'm doing better than I ought to be. I'm more blessed than I ought to be. And he goes on and he's encouraging no matter what's going on. That's what we've got to work. We've got to work on being the type of person people are glad to have around.
That's right.
So that's being hospitable and welcoming people. Now, it could be welcoming people, but it doesn't have to be.
Right, absolutely.
Just make sure when you leave, they're not glad you're gone. And it's easy to be that kind of, life gets us all down.
Mm-hmm.
But our light, we can't put a basket over our light, because what Jesus did for us outweighs anything we're ever going to go through.
Absolutely. And we've got, like you said, nobody wants to be around someone that's grumpy and down and depressing all the time, talking about, woe is me. And
I'm not talking about talents we don't have.
Right,
I'm not talking about doing something we can't do. I'm not talking about going door knocking. I'm talking about when you're in a room with people, just be nice.
That's right.
Be friendly, be welcoming. It's not a special talent or a special skill that we have to have.
Right.
That's something I think God's expected all of us to be able to do, is just be a welcoming person.
Right. And we see the Apostle Paul, he learned to be content in whatever situation he was in. And if there's anyone that had the right to be a little grumpy, I would say that would be the Apostle Paul, because he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was thrown in prison, but when he was in prison, he was praying, he was singing praises to the Lord, and he did not let that get him down. He was content in whatever situation he was in.
You mentioned praying for people too. If you pray for somebody that is has an issue with you, it's really hard to dislike somebody that you're praying for.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's really, even if this talks about blessing those who persecute you. If you pray for somebody and pray that God gives you the ability to have the right heart and pray, and you pray for them to change their heart, it's hard to be upset with people if you do that. And it changes the perspective. But that the problem comes in sometimes when we try to pigeonhole our lives, where we're Christians here, but over here, because that person did that to me, it's okay to hate them.
Right.
Or be really mad at them. No. Christianity is the foundation for everything. That it will make me It will determine what kind of dad I am, what kind of husband I am, what kind of neighbor I am, what kind of coworker I am, what kind of driver I am,
right,
what kind of checkout lane person mm-hmm. I am. It takes all that and reshapes it. And we can't remove our Christianity from any part of our lives. So even if somebody's persecuting us, we let our light shine by being the right kind of person, by praying for that person.
Most definitely.
And, you know, I've actually, in the hallways, that I've had people, I'd say hi to people in the hallway at school, and as adults, they just walk right by me like I was invisible. Okay, so what am I supposed to do? Run to the principal? Hey, so-and-so won't talk to me. No, that's not going to help.
Just keep saying hi the next time you see them.
And things have worked out okay with those situations. But if I'd been all upset and whiny, cause, you know, like some people can be, and I have been, and I can be
whiny
too.
We all have been,
But, you know,
that's why I'm laughing.
But we have to choose to be a Christian.
That's right.
It's a choice.
First and foremost.
Let me think. John 7:17, I think it is. It's totally cool if I've got the right verse. Nope, I don't have the right verse.
What are you looking for?
Well, it's if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God. If that's a choice, isn't it? That is the right
Absolutely.
Verse. It just worded differently in the version I read the other day. If anyone wills to do God's will, that is a choice.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Every single day, it's a choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Simple. Anyway, I'm sorry, I digressed.
No.
I told you I would.
Hey, that's quite all right. But I see the time is
fast.
Clicking away. So I think we would be amiss when we talk about being the light in the lives of others, not to mention Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12.
Yep.
You know, I think we all learned that in elementary school. We call it the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Yep.
But Christ on the Sermon on the Mount there. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So this is not something that school came up with, you know, mm-hmm. the golden rule. This is Christ's mountain message there, the Sermon on the Mount back in Matthew chapter 7 while he was walking on this earth. And that should be a driving force, just as Scott was saying, you know, whether we're in the hall or as we're talking about in the checkout line at the grocery store, you know, treat others the way we want to be treated. And society, unfortunately, expects everyone to be grumpy. Life is so fast paced mm-hmm. and like you don't have time, you don't have patience, and it's okay to be grumpy. It's okay to cut one another off in traffic. That's not the case. We should treat others the way we want to be treated, and that should be a driving force of how we let Christ's light shine through us in the light of others, that they can see us living differently.
Yeah. What if they try to get your job at work?
Let them have it. You know, if that's God's will, God will take care of us. You know?
What if they cut you off in a checkout lane?
You know.
What if an employee won't help you and you're in Home Depot and it won't help you? What do you, you know, it doesn't matter.
And it's our response. It's our attitude and the
Absolutely.
Way we control ourselves, control our tongue, control our actions. Mm-hmm. That's when the rubber meets the road.
Yep.
And, you know, you might have a big test. You might think alcohol or pornography or that type of thing is a big test that you have.
Yeah.
Maybe it's anger. You know, these situations where someone didn't help you or cut in line at Home Depot or whatever the situation might be. You know, maybe anger is your demon. That is your test. And it's the way that you react to that, the way you overcome that.
Yeah.
And don't let those things get you down. Because others, you know, if you're in Home Depot and you don't know these other shoppers, but they're going to see the way you react, and it's going to make an impression. They may never talk to you. They don't know you from Adam, don't know who you are, where you're from, don't know your name, anything. But they'll say, hey, I saw this person in Home Depot. Someone cut them off in the line, and they were just happy as could be, didn't let them bother them. You know, I mean, unfortunately, that's rare today, but there are still good people out there, and people are watching, you know?
You just caused something to come to my mind. I was in Home Depot a couple years ago with Evan. Evan's my son. He's 13 now. But he was flipping over there, flipping two before he's trying to find straight ones, you know, and doing all that for me and loading my cart. And I don't mean this, and this Asian fellow came through, and he spoke some English,
mm-hmm.
but he had his son with him. And he stopped
And he looked at him and he said, happy boy. Oh, he said, good boy, make happy dad.
There
and
you go. Very good.
Isn't that great? But he saw good. That.
And it's true.
And
that's
he
right.
Didn't, yeah. You know, he didn't know us. He just saw Evan over there working his fanny off for me. And he that was so cool. And I hope I never forget. I'm going to have Tim make me a t-shirt.
I mean, that's fantastic.
But that is so cool.
That is so true.
But just, I didn't even know. You know, of course, I'm blind in my left eye. I didn't even because I couldn't see him.
Can't see out the other.
Can't see. And so I didn't know they were even there. I had no idea that anybody was
right.
Watching,
right.
Which is the case most of the time.
That's right.
And when we're at our angriest, that's when we see the least. And
right.
We do, and we lose sight of what we're doing, and that sort of thing. But that was just one of those situations that really brought that to
light
for me.
Right. That's
is
right.
Hey, people are watching.
Yep.
And it was really cool to see that. But we've got 4 minutes, Mike.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah. Well, when we're talking about being a light and, you know, the way we portray ourselves and the way we live our lives mm-hmm. for Christ, you know, we cannot think of our light having a light switch.
No.
You know, something that we turn on and turn off.
Yep.
Because just like those examples, when we're out and about, you know, we shouldn't be turning off because even though we're not in the presence of anyone that we know, we should not turn that off because everybody, even those strangers, are seeing us, and we are making impressions the way we live our lives for Christ in every situation. And I want to read real quick before we do run out of time, Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. You know, when we talk about being a light in the lives of others, it's easy to do that for those that we love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this passage is going to talk about. Those that we love and our family, our friends, our fellow brothers and sisters, that's easy for us to do those things. But really, once again, where the rubber meets the road is that person that maybe we're not particularly fond of.
Yep.
If hopefully we don't have enemies. But I want to pick up, this is Christ speaking here in Luke chapter 6. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. So right there, we've got to love our enemies, do good to them, take that opportunity,
mm-hmm.
Kill them with kindness, as the old saying goes. Bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. So,
yeah.
You know, this might be a difficult pill to swallow, but, you know, this is what Christ is instructing us to do. And unto him that smileth thee on the one, smiteth, I'm sorry, or strikes you on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Give to every man that asks of you, and of him that taketh away your goods, ask them not again. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Once again, the golden rule, another passage there, Luke's account. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But we see here at the end, Christ says, love your enemies, do good and lend. Hope for nothing again, and your reward will be great. And ye should be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
That's very good, Mike.
So, yeah, so we see there it's easy to help and do good to those that we love, but those that we're not particularly fond of, you know, we've got to realize they have a soul as well. They are children of God's, and we should love them. And as the Bible speaks, we should go out, we should teach them, and try to draw all to Christ so they can enjoy the great hope of heaven as we all hope to.
Well, I'd love to keep talking, but we're literally out of time.
How can it be an hour?
And I know.
I don't
time
understand.
Flies when you're having fun.
Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. I'm working with the church at El Bethel. We meet on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible study and 10:30 for worship. On Wednesday, we meet at the little building over the hill there for a Bible study. We are in Luke chapter 9. And we'll get finished 9 and get into 10 this next week. But speaking about, what am I going to talk about tomorrow, Theron? I forget.
Good question.
Anyway,
you've got 24 hours to decide.
No, I've got
less.
It.
Less.
Would Sean like you to read that, I wonder?
Oh, yeah. There is a fundraiser next Saturday at noon here for the radio station. And there's going to be, it says, join us in the shade for food, fun, and live entertainment by the Napper family. Gina Billy and Deborah Pittman, Mark Taylor, the Breeding family, and Juanie and Ricky Blevins, and those people singing and having fun. And I really appreciate this radio station being here and for allowing us this opportunity. And I'm very grateful for them. So we'll be here for a while doing that. I guess somebody, this is Scott Mitchell signing off, asking you to let the Bible speak.
And let your light shine.
Let your light shine.
Oh, get it. It's your job. Get it. Yeah. Okay, guys. So we're still live on Facebook. And we're still recording audio. So
hello,
you guys,
all.
There you go. So if you have any last minute comments you want to share. So half your mics are off, but the other two are still live. So
gotcha.
Go for it. You guys have any last
now,
comments?
Now, Priscilla, sing This Little Light of Mine.
Come on, Priscilla.
This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine.
She did, you know, the sign there. You know, the you're listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. She did a reading of that when we were practicing last night. She did a great job, but she won't do it live.
Aren't moving. Oh, very good.
The needles aren't moving?
Needles aren't moving.
Do we have
needles
music?
Oh, there it is.
There's the needles. Okay. So that's your feed from the computer then. So any last things you guys want to add before I shut everything down?
No.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
It was great. That was a fast hour.
Whoever's listening, thank you for
fast.
That.
Yes.
And watching.
It worked okay. This, I couldn't believe how well this
I hope we didn't scare you on Facebook Live.
Sorry?
I said, I hope we didn't scare anybody on Facebook Live.
Oh, we probably did. I was not a huge fan of doing this, but to be honest, I think it worked out pretty good. The fact that I could get this up elevated helped a lot.
That's good, yeah.